pop music legend Phil Collins knows a thing or two about the switcheroo. Former drummer and frontman for the lugubrious concept band Genesis, he went on to write frothy but unforgettable pop tunes for his own multi-platinum career. He's won 7 Grammys, an Oscar, and 2 Golden Globes for his solo work. His newest album is called Going Back, and on the cover of the record is a picture of a little boy holding a pair of drumsticks up to no good and ready to take on the world. Phil Collins says looking back at himself as a teenager was a bit of a shock.
Well, no, the photograph I came across by accident, it was in a Swiss magazine, and it was a full-page picture. And it was kind of shocked me to sort of find a picture of me at the age of 13 that I'd never seen.
That's amazing.
And I tracked it down and got a copy, and I had to pay for it, of course. But the... Yeah, I thought it kind of, you know, I had a different cover in mind and a different title actually in mind. But when I got the picture, it seemed to sort of tie it all together. So.
You know, going back, I mean, I think you might be tempted to think of this as a nostalgia album. But I think in some ways it's a search for what is the popular song. What is that all about? What is the magic, the lightning in a bottle that constitutes the popular song?
Yeah, I mean, it was nostalgia somewhat. You know, I mean, I've wanted to do this record pretty much all my career, all my life. Since that photograph, you know, this was the stuff that I never actually got into a situation where I could sing, you know, because I joined Genesis when I was 19.
Right.
So apart from singing these songs in school when I had a school band, it was a selfish kind of move to just sort of make an album of the songs that I actually always wanted to sing but was never got the chance to.
Well, let's get a couple of examples. As a pop phenomenon, Dusty Springfield in the 60s was just pop. I mean, she's a sort of a mysterious character, but her songs just speak to the ages.
Yeah. Well, she was England's number one female soul singer, really. I mean, you know, she was as white as they come, but she had an incredible voice, an incredible soul, and she actually pioneered a lot of the Motown acts on English television. At the time, which was kind of a very small space they were allowed, you know, I mean, sort of music didn't occupy much time on English TV. And, you know, I do 2 Dusty Springfield songs on this
record.
Yeah,
well, let's hear your cover of this tune. You know, it sounds to me like you're talking to her.
Well, you know, we mustn't forget that Carole King and, you know, Jerry Goffin wrote this song. And there was no definitive version. I mean, Dusty's version sounds much better than I remember it sounding, actually. You know, the Byrds did this as well.
Well, the definitive issue is actually important in that a lot of the old tunes can't be reproduced, that the technology is so advanced and some of the sort of raw quality of those original tunes is difficult to come by, which seems to be part of the story of this classic right here. Okay, so Stevie Wonder, 1966. I mean, I wouldn't touch this one, even if I was Phil Collins.
I know, that's why I touched it. My way of looking at this was that I wanted to recreate that sound, you know. I mean, and it's very difficult with modern technology to actually go back to 3-track, you know. The distortion that was inherent in the bass and the drums, I mean, the drums are really distorted on this track, and it sounds fantastic. So we bought in outboard gear, and we constantly A-B'd our version all the way through from the demo process I did on my own, all the way through to the mixing. And got as close as we possibly could. And the reason I did it is because nobody else had been brave enough to have a crack at it.
Well, let's give it a shot here. You flattened it by a half step, but that's probably the tape is stretched out on the old Stevie Wonder masters, right?
Yeah, well, choosing keys, you know, that was something else, because I did a lot of Martha and the Vandellas and Marvelettes and Supremes songs. And of course, they had all that to come down a bit, and sometimes a song is written in a sweet key, and if you change that, you take some of the air out of it, in other words.
Are these tunes, are these covers Phil Collins' version of them, or do you get to ride the magic of those pop tunes?
I'm trying to ride the magic.
Really?
You know, I, as I say, it was kind of a selfish thing to do. I mean, people would say, and I will be reading it. I have yet to, but if you're not going to do anything new, bring anything new to the table, why do it, you know? My only answer is that I wanted to sing these songs, and I wanted to try and get as close as possible. And we did spend an awful lot of time mixing it, and the enjoyable part of it was actually trying to get that distortion a bit.
Well, you've certainly had a fair amount of success putting some of that pop lightning in a bottle yourself. Let me ask you about this too. Total pop. Total absurdity. Total hit.
Pap.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, well, you know, I tried... this was the album... it's kind of my least favorite record, actually, in some respects. You know, Jacket Required. Because I was trying to do things that I'd never done before. And to some extent succeeded and to some extent failed. Trying to write the dance songs. You know, something I'd never really done. And I just tried to... I mean, I was very into the horns, and I think the horns are the thing that make this fly, this song.
Well, this song flew. I mean, yeah. This...
But it crossed over to the R&B market, which still remains faithful to me now. The hip-hop brigade, you know, and the rap guys. But, just the Sussudio was a word that came when I was writing it, and of course, you know, trying to find another word that scanned exactly the same. Then you end up sort of, what's the studio? And it ends up, it's about nothing. So, you know, it's just a sound.
Well, part of the magic of pop is about the confidence of just, like, flying with it. I mean, I read an interview with Lady Gaga, who's probably the pop factory right now.
Yeah.
She describes her influences as Bowie and Queen, and she sounds nothing like Bowie and Queen, except that she's just out there just ripping it.
Yeah.
Is that what pop represents to you? Just going with it, even if...
It's
a little ridiculous.
I don't overthink it, frankly. I mean, to be honest, I mean, if you listen to some of the very early Genesis stuff, very, very early, there's me trying to be a soul drummer in this band that actually was not about that, even though Peter and Tony were huge Otis Redding and Nina Simone fans, you know, and eventually, you know, that wasn't allowed in the room.
No. Genesis was kind of a intellectual spook house.
It appeared to be, but actually inside there were some sort of soul fans trying to get out. Talk to me. You never talk to me.
Ooh, it seems that I can speak. What a takeaway from Phil Collins. Soul trying to escape from Genesis in the early days. Well, you're listening to No Reply at All, that Genesis tune. Sadly, Prague Heads, we won't get a Lamb Lies Down on Broadway reunion tour anytime soon. Phil Collins' new album, though, is called Going Back, and we thank Phil for coming in here to join us in the studio.